Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's good to see you, Sticks, and we're not live yet. We're not live streaming yet. We are live up on Blog Talk. We do 120 minutes there, and I use them for the phone system. So anyone that comes in there, if they're listening on Edge, they just have to wait around until we get it together. Ha, 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 ha. Hi, Lloyd.
Hey, how's it going, Miss Tracy?
Hey, how's this green halo looking? I'm trying to fix it.
You ain't got trails this week.
What do you mean on trails?
Last week when you would move, it would like make a trail behind you.
I'm working on it.
See,
I'm working on it.
You're good.
I'm working on it. No, it still does it.
Yeah, you're good.
Oh, wow. I'm going to wait a few more minutes. I sent out we've got a few minutes before we get to live StreamYard. They're 530, and they're 105. And though I don't know who else is coming in, it's going to be a good conversation today. I'm looking forward to it.
So we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah,
the world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. We need to ask God to help us. So let's. I don't know how to do this. I don't have a count. We used to have a countdown, and I don't do the countdown anymore.
Oh, that makes it hard.
I know. And do that. See, Sticks, I don't have a lot of time to play with a lot of stuff, but I'm learning too much about a lot of stuff. People have no idea what's out there right now. So let's go up. Hold on.
Technology's moving faster than we are.
Hold on. We got to do our show right. If we don't do it right, it'll be bad. And I don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to get in trouble, do you?
You need to come up with a new theme song.
What new theme song?
We ain't got a theme song anymore.
We have a theme song on the radio.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, we do on the radio.
Same one we used before?
Yeah. They do that there. Here we don't have here.
Ah, I see.
Here we don't. We don't do anything. You know, when we send this over to there, they do all that. When we stream online, I haven't figured this out yet. I'm not proficient at this. I'm going live. It's counting down for me. I've got a minute and 7 seconds before I have 105. But when we used to go into the studio Sticks, we went in and everything was done. We hit a button and then we came up.
Right.
That's not how this works anymore. And remember, even when we were streaming, there was a different kind of stream. It was different all parameters all together. And now you have to, the technology is moving so fast. And it's moving so slow at the same time. And we can talk about that. We're not allowed to talk. Because when we talk, it changes the show. You know that.
I'm going to stop my camera for a minute. I'm going to turn off a light and see if it gets a glare out of my glasses.
Okay.
Nope, I didn't do any good.
That ain't doing good. Hold on, Sticks. I got some.
Let me try something else.
Okay. I hear you.
Nope, that doesn't do any good either.
Okay, there. Oh, okay.
Oh, shoot. All right, we're back.
We'll just read over. We will read whatever you are watching when we start. Let's go. Go live. Welcome to Tracy and Friends. I'm Tracy Winbush, and I have with me right now Lloyd, and I'm waiting for you to come in and hang out with us via phone. You can call into this show through any cell phone at 515-602-9695. And it is live, and today we're going to be talking about guns and mass shootings, freedom, assembly, freedom of speech, things that people are not paying attention to, and you need to, because America is no longer the America that we once knew. And you are going to have to learn how to live and to move and to breathe in this new America. Because right now, if we don't start getting ourselves and posturing ourselves, we're going to lose everything that God has ever given us. We have no idea what we're losing and the footage that we're losing and what's happening to us. Oh, my God. And we're sitting on the sidelines, you know, drinking martinis, eating popcorn like this is a movie. And we won't get our heads in the game understanding that if we don't take responsibility for what we've done, what we're doing, we're going to lose. So today I'm talking about, is America still free? And will you exchange your Second Amendment for indoctrination? American freedoms, your right to freedom of speech, we no longer have it. Second Amendment, we are relenting. Assembly, we don't know how to behave. Hey, Sticks.
Hey, Tracy.
You're white.
Yeah, last time I checked, little August, I'll be a little darker, but not much.
I'm African American. We come from different cultures in some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a race war.
I didn't ask for it.
I didn't either, but you see it, don't you?
That's the only way that the totalitarians can take control is they have to divide one against another, and they do it with sex, they do it with sexual orientation, they do it with color, they do it with religion, they do it any way they can figure out. Because if you can carve people up into little bitty groups, they're a lot easier to control.
Is anybody paying attention to that? I mean, right now, when you look at mainstream media, when you look at what's going on right now, when you look at what people are talking about and where people's heads are they really understanding that they're sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone to say, listen, this has to stop?
Well, see, Tracy, in the Navy, and this is true of every branch of the service, they say you train in peace so you don't bleed in battle. And in the Navy, they taught us that by not training for the casualty, the panic that ensues always creates more death and destruction than the actual casualty will. And that's exactly what they did to us with COVID-19. They got everybody in a panic. They've destroyed our economy. The people have shown them how much of their personal freedoms they will give up in the name of safety. People rolled over. Churches closed. I never in my wildest dreams would have thought the churches would have closed. You know, the church next to me was closed for 2 years. They didn't hold a service in that building for 2 years.
Mm.
We showed them exactly how far they could push us and what they could panic us into. You know, they're finding out today that this COVID shot's killing people right and left, young people.
Wait, stop. I didn't hear that on the news.
Well, you're not going to.
I didn't hear, because I mean,
you've got to go to people like Alex Berenson and the people outside of the system.
But how can you get to the people outside the system when I don't even know the system has an outside system? And let me say this. Every system has an outside system, and right now there's so many people clamoring, and right, you don't know what you're listening to, because you don't know if what you're hearing can be real, no matter where it comes from.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's becoming more and more, it's getting harder and harder and harder to verify facts you hear.
And now with AI, it's just changing the game all over again. And so mm-hmm. when do we start communicating? And 314, I think that's Bianchi. Hey, good afternoon. Good to see you in here. When is it that we're going to look at what they've done to the psyche? And I'm going to bring this into the conversation. We have been programmed. And I don't think we've realized what we've been programmed and how we've been programmed over the last 60 years.
It's going to take people like us to dig up this stuff that that the mainstream media or the popular media, whatever you want to call it, the popular news doesn't want to tell people. We need to bring to light things like the Alex Berenson lawsuit against the Biden administration and Pfizer executives for actively telling Twitter to ban him because they didn't like the facts he was putting out on Twitter.
But
there's a lawsuit going along right now. He's actually he's not even suing the Biden administration. He is suing Joe Biden and selected members of his administration in a personal capacity. And he has the documentation where they went to Twitter and said, shut this guy up.
Okay, so with that said, how am I going to find that out?
Let me
say this. So when you say that, people think you're nuts. When I say that, they think I'm crazy. When you say something that is outside of the norm, people don't take you very, very seriously because they think you're a Trumper or you're anti-Biden or you don't have your facts right because these are the facts here. All these things are going on.
All you have to do is, and any open-minded person, the problem is so many people are closed-minded now they won't listen, is you just have to show them your record. That's why I work very hard to make sure that everything I say is the truth to the best of my knowledge. And when I get something wrong, I come on here and admit I was wrong. Because all I have at the end of the day is my credibility with people.
Bianchi.
And if I can show you I found this fact, and this fact, and they all proved out to be right, how can you dispute my word?
Bianchi, is that you?
It sounds like brand new queen.
Well, listen, you're breaking up just a little bit. But what you got to say? I want to hear this.
Well, I was asking how you guys doing.
We're doing good. I mean, I'm doing well in my mind because I've got a comfort through Christ Jesus and what I believe in. So I'm comfortable in my resolve, but when I look at the world and what's going on around me, I see the Bible coming to fruition, and I don't see anybody doing anything or saying anything or preparing anyone for anything. Because I thought we were supposed to occupy, and I don't see the church moving, I don't see the people moving, I see the American government morphing into something that I don't want to live in.
Well,
I'm concerned about
that.
Pardon me?
I said it's getting pretty bad.
We had rights at one time.
You see all those crazy kids, the crazy young black young people up there in Chicago rioting?
Oh, why are
attacking
they,
white people?
Why are they, wait a minute, the crazy kids attacking white people in Chicago?
Yeah.
I saw the Sweet 16 party that got the gunfire and got shot up.
That was in Alabama.
And so what happened in Chicago?
You know, had roving mobs going into downtown. And I think I sent you out a text showing a video of about 15, this white woman.
For what cause?
Chicago. Because that's what they want to do. The thing you should ask, why come she wasn't carrying a weapon?
Because, huh?
I mean, she should have been carrying a weapon for her protection, but, you know, being in Chicago, they don't know.
They're not allowed to have weapons in Chicago. They have no carry. They're no gun, no carry, no right state, right?
Yeah, but in all that, about three or four people got shot, killed. They jumping on top of buses, and they go down in the bus and rob everybody like a train robbery in the old days.
There's multiple shootings every weekend in Chicago, but yet nobody's got a gun there. I ain't figured that one out yet.
Wow.
And
I don't
35 black shot and 8 murdered last weekend. This past weekend. Today is Tuesday.
How can that be, Bianchi? There ain't no guns in Chicago. I've seen the law. The law says everything you can't have a gun.
See, private caller, your line is on. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tracy Sarge here. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Sarge.
I am so glad. Thank you, Pianchi et al. I am so glad you're talking about this issue because, believe me, this issue about gun violence and crime is the issue that made me a conservative. I was a big-time leftist, liberal, semi-Marxist before I became a police officer and saw how every single thing the gun control lobby was telling me about crime and criminal use of firearms was a lie based upon the empirical evidence of my eyes, seeing the way criminals acquire and use guns, and compared to what they were telling me, none of it lined up, none of it. And it began me to research other things that I thought were true without any doubt or question whatsoever. And that's what led me to become a conservative, a Constitutional Declaration of Independence conservative. Because believe me, it was this gun issue that did it. It started me on the road to conservatism. And they are worse now today in their lies and distortions than they have ever been.
Sarge, but slow down. Let's get out of the lies and destruction right now where they're coming from. My question is, why don't we know about what you're talking about? See, the information that you're talking about right now, I should be able to turn on the news, the internet, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and I should be able to see what's going on in real time, and it shouldn't be a wild, wild west.
See, that's just the point. See, another reason why
Hold on, Sarge. What'd you say, Six?
Well, not to step on Sarge, and I shouldn't have. I apologize. But the problem is that the truth doesn't meet the narrative. Go ahead, Sarge.
Yeah, thanks.
Not only that, they don't teach you that.
Well, one of the reasons we can't get hold of this problem, ma'am, and I've got to emphasize this beyond anything else, because we are pretending as though it is a nationwide problem, when in fact it is extremely localized and concentrated in a few specific areas and with a few specific groups of people. And because we have this utter inability to tell the truth anymore when it conflicts with this neo-Marxist idea of intersectionality and reparations and political correctness and all the other mess, we cannot identify the problem to isolate it and fix it. It is a great detriment to fixing it. See, I was a mechanic. I'm trained as a mechanic. When you're troubleshooting an engine, you don't go to the part that you'd like it to be that's wrong with the car that might be easier to fix. I mean, if you got a problem with the timing chain, you don't say, oh, well, it's just a spark plug, you know, because that's easier to fix. No, you got to go fix the timing chain. You can do more work. It's harder. But you got to isolate the problem precisely in order to fix it. Similarly, we are having a problem telling the truth about where the crime is. And what just happened over the last 3 days in Chicago is perfectly illustrative of that point.
Well, you not only had 3 days in Chicago, you had the Arco gas station in Compton, California, and you had the shooting at the Sweet 16 party in Alabama.
Yep.
Okay, so what we need to do is we need to take the guns off the street and this will solve it, right?
No, not necessarily. I mean, that of course, guns in criminal hands is always a crucial part of the short-term problem. There's a longer-term problem that we must confront. I mean, we can let them go and narrate all day long. But if you look at the per capita homicide rate among black males between the ages of 15 to 24, it is 207.4 per 100,000. For black males ages 25 to 34, is 119.5 per 100,000. For white males in the same age range, 15 to 24, out of every 100,000 white males in the country, it is 8.3 per 100,000. 25 to 34, 7.6. to 100,000. We can see where the problem is concentrated, but we will not acknowledge it because we prefer to lie to ourselves. because of this country's racist past, and its discrimination against black people, which is real. We think in order to compensate for that, now we've got to lie to ourselves about what the problem is now.
Now, let me ask you this, Sarge, because you probably you would know this answer better than I would. I'd have to research it. What is the rate of fatherless households in the black community versus the white community?
Depending upon the jurisdiction, it can vary from anywhere between 60 to 90%. It is higher than it's ever been. It's never been like this until about 1975 when you started to see it occurring. Prior to that, black fathers were in the homes frequently at higher rates than white fathers were before 1965 in the Great Society. That's when you started to see all this happening, because the best police officer for a young black man is a dedicated and committed father. There's no better police officer for a young man who might be inclined to criminality than a dedicated and committed father, and we can see what the removal of the black father is a continuous presence in the home has wrought in the inner city. We can see it, but we keep lying. Many of us keep lying to ourselves about what the real problem is. Oh, not enough resources. Not enough government programs.
Okay,
not enough people at school.
Listen,
all this
is, hold on, Sarge, listen. At one time, I would tell you I agree 100% with you. But today, the problem is bigger than that. The problem now is I can no longer cohabitate with a man in my home. And so since I can't cohabitate with a man in my home, I just go out and I manufacture my own child because I now have control over my own body and my own say. And so all I need is a seed from you, and when I get done with the seed from you, we'll discuss on who's going to do what with the seed. You can't speak to the seed, and I'm going to tell that seed that you don't have any rights over it. Because we don't identify relationships, and we can't find, if you can't define a man and a woman, then you can't raise a child.
Well, again, how did this all come about? It wasn't an accident. It was deliberate.
But even and so
it was deliberate policy to replace the father with the state.
But we, listen to the slow down, Sarge. I know it's we understand that, you understand that, I understand that. But we have an audience out here that needs to hear a whole lot more than what they are hearing, because what's in front of them, they have been indoctrinated. They've been sucking on Similac for a very, very long time, and they don't realize that they have not been eating meat at all, and they think that they have been. And that's real. Some of our brightest minds, our brightest people, and if you come out and tell the truth about anything, they castrate you. Hey, Larry, good morning. How are you? Good afternoon.
Good morning, Trace. How are you doing?
Doing good. Welcome to Northeast Ohio.
Yeah. The weather, if you don't like it, give it 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
After coming up from Texas, you're probably freezing to death today.
Yeah, you know, I got climatized down there.
Oh, you climatized? Did you see what happened to us here? I don't know if you guys know, on Sunday, what, it was 80 degrees?
84.
And today, and in 24 hours, it, like, dropped down how many degrees?
Well, there were snow flurries coming in this morning.
It was sleeting sideways in Alliance yesterday.
That's a problem.
It's going to be 80 by Thursday again.
Is that what they call pneumonia weather? Okay, I'm going to just to break up the monotony. That was a little commercial. So going back to Sarge, I understand. How do we – because we can't stop this if you can't identify roles now. And it may have been on purpose. And it may have been by design. And don't get me wrong, it may have been. And listen to what I'm saying. And even when you look at the whistleblowers that are bringing stuff out of Washington, and people are mad because stuff is going out of Washington, we need to understand how corrupt Washington is. They have not been following the rules of we the people in a very long time.
Are you familiar with the term anarcho-tyranny?
I know what tyranny is, but not anarcho-tyranny. No, what is that?
Okay, anarcho-tyranny is a very specific type of tyranny that's slowly being implemented in many jurisdictions in the United States. Now, if you want a concrete example of it, I will give you Jose Alba in New York, whom Alvin Bragg charged with a murder for defending himself. I will refer you to I can't think of his name, but an African immigrant parking lot attendant who wrested a pistol away from a man who had shot him 3 times and killed him, and he was charged with murder. I'd like to refer you to the McCluskeys, who in St. Louis, who attempted to defend themselves against a mob. And finally, one of the worst of them, Daniel Perry in Texas, who was charged with murder after defending himself against one of the mascots of the left, a BLM activist protester. Now, these are examples of anarchy tyranny. Anarcho-tyranny occurs when prosecution or government creates, allows, or condones the conditions that create anarchy in the form of riots, like we saw over the riots to BLM during 2020, like we see in Chicago, like we saw to a limited degree in Texas and elsewhere. And then when people defend themselves against this failure of the state to do its most basic civil duty, they are punished for doing so. That is anarcho-tyranny, and we are witnessing it more and more in these leftist progressive jurisdictions. It's not an accident.
So, question, how do we stop this train?
We identify it, and we stop putting people like this in office who are free to use the power of government to implement this anarcho-tyranny on the rest of us. We have to identify it and make people understand what it is. We have concrete examples where it has occurred. Again, Alvin Bragg, what he did in New York in 2 specific cases, what he does when he constantly downgrades violent felonies to misdemeanors when they don't require rigorous bail for recidivist, repeat, violent criminal offenders, all of these things contribute to anarcho-tyranny. We got to identify and show it every time it happens.
This did not happen overnight.
I know that.
This has been a march.
I know that. But my question is, how do we throw mama off the train? Right now, they are – right now, when I look at the marketplace, because when you look at the Republicans and Democrats, and that's why I'm not mentioning parties anymore, because you can't do that. And when you get in – you can't do that because not all Republicans are thinking the same way. They're just using that vehicle. And not not all Democrats even know that they're even on the train.
Well, what's happening is we are becoming, you know, I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. At some point, we're going to have an amicable divorce, because you are seeing a nation that is splitting, and people are moving and they're voting with their feet. They're leaving places like Illinois for Florida. And if we keep screwing around in Ohio, people are going to start leaving Ohio and grow.
Oh, they're leaving Ohio now.
Ballot initiative they want to get signatures for to once again put minimum wage in our constitution, which is it does not belong there. And this goes back to what Sarge was saying: when you continually remove people's human rights, because the basic human rights are the right to life, liberty, and property, and the right to liberty means you have a right to self-defense.
Okay.
And when you remove those things from a human being, now you're asking for a fight.
Okay, now look at this. Freedom of speech. We no longer have the right. And if you see what's going on with Fox News right now, and you see what's going on with the New York, with the bias in who they go and they target, it's kind of sad.
We started this discussion years ago when I first came on the show, and I said the worst thing we can do is have hate crimes and hate speech. And we had that argument for a long time.
You called it Fox.
And this is the culmination of that.
And I will say this: I was wrong.
But Tracy, here's another aspect of it too. Look, where I live right now, the county is governed by Democrats. Mostly black elected Democrats. We have the crime rate is very low. There's a great deal of order. The county is reasonably well run, efficient. They don't intrude over much into your life, and they seem to be sane. Now, I don't like all of their tend to be more liberal, somewhat socialistic policies, but they seem to be sane and relatively competent in their governing. Now, just because you're a Democrat, I will agree, does not mean you're a lunatic and demented and delusional. The politicians that run my county are perfect examples of that being so. However, what we're talking about, the chaos, the madness, I mean the literally key, that is being countenanced and getting worse day by day, is almost exclusively in blue Democrat-run big city jurisdictions. I don't know of any Republican government that's directly controlled by Republicans where anything's even comparable.
Well, let me ask
there
you this.
There is a style of governance to these people when they get in power in big urban centers that lends itself to it, and we cannot ignore it.
But now, I've got a question for you. And everywhere you're talking about look like there's a whole lot of black people. That's a comma. Now, I need to ask you. Now, everybody that's getting shot up, you know, in these mass shootings and going in there and killing people are white people. Now, they want to come after guns and all they want to come after all this kind of stuff. And you know as well as I do, none of this stuff is real. They've been coming after drugs for a long time until they legalized it. I just want you to understand.
They won't discuss a lot of the hard facts about these mass shooters. They won't discuss the psychotropic drugs that they've been given since they were 8 years old. They won't discuss the amount of violent video games they play. They won't discuss the fact that the vast majority of them have no real life. That they're loners. That they're social outcasts.
But do we understand that we're still trying to teach our children like they have phones with cords? We're still trying to raise our children like we were in a whole new world in society. And these kids are now being indoctrinated. Do you understand that mass media took tobacco out of society? They put it in and took it out. And how addictive it is? Does anybody understand how we have been brainwashed and how we are being manipulated right now?
I want to know why tobacco is illegal and marijuana is legal.
Did you hear what the mayor-elect of Chicago, let's go, Brandon Johnson, said after this insanity in Chicago? Did you hear what he said?
Please tell me.
Go ahead.
Well, he said after, almost immediately, they come out. I mean, it's like they have this phrase book these progressives in these big cities read from. They almost use almost exactly the same verbiage every time. And his was typical. We don't countenance and have no place for this sort of violence in our city. And that was his sole lip service paid to the chaos, rioting, and anarchy. Then he goes on for the most of the rest of his statement to talk about oppressed young people who don't have opportunities and how we need to stop demonizing them. That was most of what he said. Now, even if you feel that way, it would seem to me, as a elected executive official of a jurisdiction, one of your first and foremost duties is to make clear to your constituency that you will not in any way tolerate civil chaos and disorder, because that's your primary duty as a chief executive. Legislators do things about social programs and the like. Governor,
Sarge,
they're supposed to take care of social order.
Okay, Sarge, I just ran for mayor of Youngstown a couple of years ago, and I thank God that if I won, and we don't ever have, I pray we never do have to face anything like that or anything like that. But when you're looking at violence in the city and you look at the realism of what is being bred, what's being promoted, what is being cultivated inside of the inner cities, and then you see the manifestation of it inside of mass killings and homicides and violence. We don't teach them how to be aggressive as children so they learn how to be competitive as adults. And we teach them the only way that they can be competitive. Let me finish. We teach them the only way they can be competitive and fight is on a football field. And so we teach them to ascribe and to become something that they cannot become. We don't teach them how to use their aggression for good.
because they're afraid that they, if they ever become aggressive for good, they'll come out and be competitive with them. So they would rather be against them than competitive with them.
The parents don't know a damn thing.
Again, but that's by design. Again, like you said.
I don't care what it is. I'm telling you what. I don't know how it got that way. I'm telling you what it is. If you got a mirror that says that standardized test is eugenics for blacks, well, he's a grown-ass man. Was a teacher. You got a condition that you're not going to, you got an abyss.
Yeah, think about it. The man literally said that testing is racist. Standardized testing to measure objective results is racist. And that the people who are being subjected to it are being victimized by white supremacy and racism. That's the implicit notion. So he's telling them, you can't get anywhere, the system's rigged against you. Again,
some of what he's saying has a little bit of truth in it. I don't know how you can be racist
about mathematics.
Because the mathematics...
That's about as objective a subject as you can get.
Because now, instead of me teaching you, I don't teach you the test. I don't teach you at all.
Yeah, but there's certain things that it's almost impossible to educate in a racist manner, like mathematics. I mean, there's no way to teach it in a racist manner. I suppose you could, but you'd have to work at it.
Hear me, you can.
Hey, Tracy, yes. Tracy, what political party does the teachers union and the teachers administrators support?
The Democrat Party.
Why is it that as soon as Republicans, mainly Republicans or even middle of the road Democrats start talking about school choice and vouchers, that now suddenly that's racist?
Remember when Michelle Wee went into Washington D.C. several years ago and tried to break up the teachers union, and they came out in full force, made sure she got voted out, and then made sure that those kids did not get the education that they deserved. It went under the Obama administration. Does anybody remember that?
Yep, and Betsy DeVos under Trump.
Okay, just want everybody to remember, they want to send you money. Yes, sir? But they don't want to give you education.
Well, Tracy, it's because we as a public, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. We as a public still haven't figured out to vote with our heads versus our emotions. You can go all the way down here, right, from education. They scare you. Michelle Wee's trying to keep your child from getting an education. They want to scare you about that, right? When if you sit back and look at it, well, why would I want to send my kid to a failing school? And the statistics are out there. I mean, there were some god-awful statistics from the L.A. Unified School District. I think there was 8 high schools, and they couldn't find a African-American. Not like 5%, not like 8%. They couldn't find a African-American that was up to speed on as far as testing. They were
I think Baltimore Public Schools, there isn't a single child in the entire school district, black, white, or brown.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But because they know that they can play upon our emotions, we're going to go with that. It's almost, I heard, you know, you can call them the Uniparty because you said this is not some of these issues you're talking about today aren't just a Democrat or Republican issue.
No.
I call them the Uniparty. There's guys that are just as invested. They don't care who wins the election because all they're out there is for themselves, right? However, I have never or rarely seen a teachers union throw any money towards a Republican.
Ever.
So it just doesn't happen, right? And Chicago, you want to talk about Chicago, that outgoing mayor who lost, Lori Lightfoot, who is an Ohioan of all places. I normally like to champion my Ohio people, but I'll never champion that woman. But the new guy that they're replacing her with is worse, Tracy. Well,
wait a minute. Here's what he said. Here's what he said. Now, listen to this, his own words. Now, you know, I can go endlessly about what a god-awful choice this man is, but this is what he said. It is not constructive to demonize youth who have otherwise been starved of opportunities in their own communities. Now, let's look at what Chicago has done to either give or lessen opportunities for youth in the city of Chicago. Boeing left. Tyson Foods left. Caterpillar left. McDonald's left. Four Walmart stores have just closed down. Dozens, if not hundreds, of businesses have fled the city owing to the policies of the government in Chicago. Now, it is the government of Chicago that is doing more than anything else other than the crime to significantly lower opportunities for black youth in Chicago, and they refuse to accept accountability or responsibility for it. It is manifestly true by virtue of the fact that it is business that usually provides opportunities for children after they've been well-educated to take advantage of the opportunities, and Chicago is failing miserably in both areas.
What did he say about businesses burning down? What did he say about businesses burning down and being looted?
Oh, he said
don't worry about it. They got insurance.
They have the assurance of insurance.
Oh, Lord. Listen,
I mean, these people are demented. They are anarchic, man. They are Bolsheviks. There's no other way to describe them.
So now listen to what you're saying, and you know, I guess on yesterday, you football people will understand this. I guess Jalen Hurts, his new signing deal for football is the highlight of the world. The deal includes no-trade clause with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's getting like $179 million guaranteed, including $110 million to sign it. And we want to know why our young people and kids and young adults, they don't know what to do and where to go. Do we understand that? They're prioritizing. Come on, guys.
Well, the problem is we don't have enough parents, and this cuts across all demographic lines, that are going to look at your kid. And Robin Williams famously said, when he told his dad he wanted to be a comic, he said, you better go to welding school so you don't starve to death if you don't make it.
But even if
there aren't enough parents that are willing to look at their kids and say, listen, go learn to do something useful just in case this whole baseball, basketball, football, hockey thing don't work out.
Remember, we're telling our children that they're not even children. They're not even important anymore. We're finding, I guess this abortion bill here in Ohio is one of the worst things that we've ever seen before.
But Tracy, see, people like Brandon Johnson, all these others with these progressive policies, all of them, they tell the children over and over and over and over and over and over again that the United States was based on slavery, oppression, genocide of Indians, marginalization and discrimination against women, and on and on and on. And that's all you really need to know about the United States. You don't even know anything else about it, when in fact, what made the United States great was not any of those things. What made the United States great was its adoption of principles of the scientific method, rationality, linear reasoning, cause and effect, free speech, and a whole bunch of other things that enabled this nation. And these are the things that these people reject as white supremacist. Timeliness is white supremacist. Being orderly is white supremacist.
I'd like to add one.
They are literally saying these things to our children, and we're wondering why they can't learn anything?
Wait a minute. It's been a mystery. Stop. Wait a minute. Did you just say being on time was racist?
Yes, there are people who say that timeliness, punctuality, and orderliness is a sign of white supremacy. I'm not kidding. I'll give you the sites.
Okay. Larry, you can't top that, can you? Please don't tell me you can top that.
I would just say of all the things that, the one thing that he neglected to mention was that this was a Christian nation. It was formed a Christian nation. We talked about
that. Oh, yeah,
God.
Thank you. Thanks for reminding me of that. I'm sorry I didn't mention it. The basis of our liberty
is
religious.
Right. You was on a roll, brother.
Okay,
you
hold
on.
Larry, you got the truth right. But Sarge, that's insane. That's insane.
It is. And everything about these people, we got to understand. They are about this. Look, when Barack Obama came to power in the presidency, one of the first things he says, we have 3 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. We have no idea of how comprehensive he meant that fundamental transformation to be. We are witnessing it in real time in front of us.
What'd you say?
And attacking the very foundation
of
the United States and the institutions that undergird it is critical to that fundamental transformation. That's why they're doing what they're doing. Even the useful idiots and the stooges who don't realize it.
What were you saying?
They have completely erased the fact that the United States was built, our social and governmental systems were based on the Ten Commandments. At the root.
But let me say this.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal means thou shalt not take anybody's property by force. And that includes the government. If you go back and you look at Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy, when God laid out the old law to the Israelites, the king had to operate under the same exact law as the rest of the people.
But this is the question. It's been hijacked. It is in a mess, and we've lost track of God. We've taken God out of everything, everywhere. So for those of us, we have to pray. But while we're praying, what are we doing? And how are we coming together and building? And what can we do to build, to grow, to navigate some of these people? Because I don't see a race issue in my world. I don't see a gender issue in my world. And I don't see the church doing anything activist to do anything to make it change, to make it better.
Here I'm going to...
And the black and white church...
I got a plug for you, Tracy. Hold on. Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, First Baptist Church, Malvern, Ohio, on Carrollton Street. We're having a prayer breakfast. They are having a prayer breakfast, and they invited my church, which they're the large black church in town. We're the large white church in town. They invited my preacher to come over, and they invited us to come over and have breakfast with them and for my preacher to speak. The preacher down there is Pastor Pate. I don't know if you know him, but I know our friend Gordon knows him.
Okay.
And that's where we start opening up the lines of communication.
Because The Christian people who go to church here in America right now are some of the most hypocritical people I know. Because what I'm saying is we are not supposed. The Bible says we should know them by the love that we have one towards another. And when I look at the people and I look at the how black people look at white people in the church and how white people look at black people in the church, I'm like, what God do you serve? Am I wrong?
We've discussed that at length. A lot of that is just ignorance.
So we're going to – that has to stop. That has to – because you can't tell people to come over here and we've got to resolve and you're just as bigoted and biased and racist and prejudiced as the other side. We can't do this. And then we're going to have to come together and start seeing that, you know – and working together on common goods, on common goals, and saying, I'm sorry. I ain't right about everything. It has to happen.
They think they're right when they say a man can become a woman just by willing it so. I don't know how you have a rational discussion with people who actually believe that.
I'm going to have
that's paganism that's being reintroduced into our society.
But paganism
that's going back to worshiping the Babylonian gods.
So the question is, those Babylonian gods, but those people are real and they have souls, and we've got to be careful how we deal with the soul, because the soul is just as important as the spirit.
And we want them to have a transformed spirit, but we don't want to demonize people because we love those people, and those people have souls. And when and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we've all messed up. Don't get me wrong, and everybody got a little freak in them. That's just the truth. But we have to be careful, because what's happening is we are chasing people off the cliff. And we're not loving them and showing them the love and kindness that God wants us to show them.
But is it love to tell them to approve of what they're doing?
I don't condone what you do, but you do what you do, and as long as you do what you do, I'm still gonna love you. I don't like what you do. You can't do it in my house, but I'm gonna love you anyway. I'm gonna care about you, and I'm gonna treat you right.
Look at the Oregon state legislature.
We've gone beyond people wanting to be allowed Now they want you to be forced to tell them what they're doing is okay.
But listen, publicly, I will always tell you, it is not as God intended. But I'm going to be caring about you, but you can't teach my children. And don't get me wrong.
No, you're a bigot.
Oh, yeah.
You're a bigot because said you can't teach my children. That makes you a bigot.
But listen to what I'm saying to you.
Because you're not letting them tell your children that what they're doing is just fine.
Again, listen to what I'm telling you. I agree with you. And I agree with them. And I understand what's going on. And I may be called a bigot. But then they didn't like Jesus either. So who am I? Welcome to the club. And it's gonna come down to that, because right now, when you stand for truth right now, you might lose everything. And you ask us why Tracy and friends is taking a slow ride in? Because I like my neck. And I've got my neck cut off for telling the truth many times. And you know
what?
It's
Oregon.
Hard. Yeah.
Look what the state of Oregon legislature is just about to pass. A bill that allow a 10-year-old to get an abortion without parental approval, a parental knowing. 10-year-old.
Again, they told the 10-year-old it ain't nothing but a fetus. It's not tissue.
And
it's not a baby.
Interfere with them with that gender affirming surgeries, notions, drug therapies, or whatever, the state will seize your child and take custody of that child from you as the parent.
Do you understand where I'm coming from? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I understand where you're coming from. They've lost their minds. They need Jesus for real.
How are we going to deal with people like they need an exorcism or something?
Well, they do. And don't get me wrong, and they do need to be, those demons need to be cast out for real. Those spirits need to be cast out for real by real people who believe in a real God. But right now, most people don't believe in the real God that they believe in, that they say they believe in. Those of us, we don't believe he can do that, because most of us don't believe in the supernatural.
Going back to what I failed to mention earlier, when I did not mention, our colleague here reminded me of, that the roots of American liberty are religious. King George said, when he was denouncing the American Revolution, he said he denounced it because it was a Presbyterian rebellion. They blamed the Presbyterians for the war. They said that the religion of Protestantism is a religion of dissent. They were saying it. It was the direct result of what they saw King George doing as being against the inalienable rights of man, that he was in effect warring with God, and these were principles that came about through the principles expressed as they saw it in a Protestant religion. The roots of American liberty are religious.
The American religion, the American Revolution started probably 40 years ahead, and it started in the pulpits of the United States.
And they took over the pulpits of the United States right now, and we saw them shut down.
Well, that's not religion. That is their professing from the pulpit a Christian religion that is suffused with Marxist tenets. Just
and
listen to them.
And it has nothing to do with the God that we serve, because the God that we serve, Jesus, is liberating and freeing.
And they don't want you to be free. They want you to be tied down. So they tied down by religion. Because God is not religion.
Marxism is atheistic. They are infusing their sermons with Marxist theories that are atheistic. It is a contradiction in terms, and they are really good at disguising it.
And Sarge, the problem is they don't. The preacher and the black preacher has no idea what he's doing because he went to a seminary and he just does what he was told.
Exactly.
And
no one wants
to tell the truth about that.
Yeah. And the reason why Christianity is so, even though this is not a religious, because it's based in secularism, but it is a Christian nation because most of the people in the country are Christians, and Christian philosophy is based on a willingness to accept the word of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It is based on a liberty-based notion of the acceptance of a religious ideal, unlike Islam, which literally means submission to.
I have to disagree with you, Sarge, because multiple times from the time that the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock all the way up until they ratified the Constitution of the United States, the leaders of this nation have met and have met in churches and had prayer meetings and gave this nation to God. Benjamin Franklin wanted the Great Seal of the United States to be Moses parting the Red Sea because the founders looked upon this as the new Israel,
but it's
the Christian Israel.
Again, that's why it was mirrored after Israel, but this is the issue. Those foundations, only God knows the intent of the people who founded America. We see the history of it. We hear both sides of it because as an African-American, when you look at freedom, remember, inside of the freedom, they still didn't think me a free. So we have to be careful when you look at the Christianism because you can't say that you want to be as we are and be as we were because people get confused.
Therein lies the rub. The most single contentious issue at the Constitutional Convention was the issue of slavery from the very inception of this country. The very inception. No other issue was more hotly contested than slavery. It was not at all ignored. They made a devil's bargain with it because in order to form one nation, the people who were anti-slavery realized they'd have to compromise with those who were. Now, you can say they shouldn't have done it. Fine. That's a fine argument to make. But nonetheless, they were aware of the devil's bargain they were making. And that's why there are so many anti-slavery elements from the very beginning of the Constitution's creation. The rule forbidding the importation of slaves in the United States after 1808 was an anti-slavery element right there in the very beginning. The Three-Fifths Compromise was an anti-slavery compromise. It was the most contentious issue. So from the very beginning of this country, we've wrestled with the idea of freedom, liberty for the people who are enslaved. Something never before done with any country at its inception in its history. No other country had such an argument about this, politically and philosophically.
Because Thomas Jefferson himself wrote a clause in the Declaration of Independence, one of the clauses in the Declaration was that several colonies had voted anti-slave laws in place and King George had overruled them. That clause was removed at the behest of Georgia and South Carolina because they didn't want it in there, and they knew that it had to be, the Declaration of Independence had to be a unanimous vote or there was going to be no revolution.
Right. And not only that, you got to remember that everywhere else in the world, slavery was just accepted as the natural order of doing things. There wasn't any arguments about it. It was just accepted
That's
as the natural order of things.
Hold on.
That's right.
Wait a minute. I got somebody in here. His name, his code is 646. Welcome to the show. Hello?
Okay. Sorry about that.
Probably a slave ain't learn how to use a phone.
You're so wrong, Bianchi.
Well, here's the thing. Why is it today when they talk about slavery, they always pull the white man out on the stage? Blacks had Bantu numbers of slaves. It was a business. Over 30,000 held in slaves by black plantation owners.
The reason why we do that is 28%
of 28% of free blacks in Louisiana, 80% of them being women, owned black slaves. And they was mulatto, so you know they was hard on the dark skins.
And they also, the New Orleans slave owners actually signed, they had an association, and they signed a compact saying that they would fight to the death for the Confederacy.
So guess what? It didn't work out very well. Because when I look at what's going on in 2023 and across this great land of mine, it looks as though it was a bad experiment and it's getting ready to go south really quick on my watch.
Yeah, on our watch. Yes.
Well, then you got to ask, why did African tribes get rid of all them people? They got rid of them because they was criminals. And the problems they caused, not all of them, not 100%, but a whole lot. And they had been doing so because there's still a practice in those societies. They had been doing so for about 1,000 years before they ever seen anybody with white skin.
Well, let me ask you this, and because we only have a few minutes, but let me ask you this. When you look at the criminal element, when you look at the act of aggression and people who are aggressive and their behavior and their intellect, is it because those people are born leaders who have not been shaped into the actual premise and their actual destiny because of lack of, you know,
environment? They may be carrying a genetic trait.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, leaders are leaders. People that are leaders, and it takes a lot to be a leader. But you have to be very, very strong. You have to be very, very abrasive. But you have to be trained by someone who's a leader to help you take that brashness and take that aggression and take that passion and take all that gifting and shape it into something that's productive. And if you don't have someone who to help you, going back to parenthood, going back to fathers, going back to moms, because when two strong people have a child from two strong families, you're going to get a strong kid, mentally, physically. You know, and if you don't know what to do with that kid and all you want to do is and put them in front of a television and allow them to grow, what do we think that we're going to get? And then the system gets them, and because they can't control them, they push them aside.
Well, Tracy, I think all of human behavior is an interplay of genetic proclivities, environment, socialization, education, training, cultural tenets and belief systems, and it all acts upon each one of us differently, because unlike ants or honeybees, we are not cookie cutter stamped out. We're all individuals. Now, we can all agree tendency to violence is most pronounced in the male. That is clearly genetic, because it doesn't matter what race or ethnic group you are, this tendency toward violent action and aggression is almost universally seen as overwhelmingly male. That is clearly genetic. Now, the extent to which aggression varies across cultures and civilizations is another example of how civilization and acculturation affects it. So it's a mixture of a lot of things. I don't think we can pinpoint to any one thing. All these variables is what makes it so hard to pin it down.
Sticks?
But Tracy, when you see videos of young black children in diapers spitting on policemen's shoes, cursing policemen, you know that that's going to end up bad.
Okay, again.
Where are these parents?
Again. Going back to what I said, you're looking at generational lack of parenting. When I came back here 30 years ago from Los Angeles and went to work for the prosecutor's office, we had crack babies being born. No one's talked about crack in a very long time. So where's the baby now?
Because well, you the baby, I'm gonna tell you something. I ain't taking the time out for my kids to raise somebody else's kids where their family's supposed to be doing themselves. I don't know what
that way anymore because I have to be my brother's keeper.
I am not raising somebody else's kids, and not only that, the parents don't want you raising their kids.
I can't raise your kids.
I was talking to Perry Steele. You know Perry Steele. I was talking to Perry Steele. Perry Steele used to get on his son because he wouldn't stay in school. Well, his mama dropped out of school when she was a sophomore, and she told Perry, "Leave him alone."
Again, we have to, Nate, our community raised us. I don't know about you, but we are a sum total of all of our experiences and the people that raised us coming up, good or bad. And right now, in this world of isolation, our children are not getting cultivated by a community in any way that's benefiting them. And we wonder why they're so cold-hearted.
Hell, Joe Brown tried that, and his house got robbed 6 times.
Hold on.
Judge Joe Brown's home got robbed 6 times. He tried that.
But what's happened is the school told the kid that your mom and dad can't whoop your backside, and then the parents told the next-door neighbor that if my kid walks on your lawn, it's your fault. So children have no guidance or direction from anybody.
Well, listen.
I mean, I know what would have happened to me if I'd have come home and told my dad he couldn't whip my butter. I was going to call the police. He could drop me off at juvie.
Right now,
Tracy, I will never forget the time I had just gotten off work. I was still in my police uniform, and I was getting ready to go in the house, and I watched an 11-year-old boy walk up behind another kid with a big tree branch in his hand, bash him over his head, open up a gash in his head. I had to chase this kid about a block to catch him. I caught him. I knew where he lived, and I went back. I had somebody tell the boy's mother that I was taking him over to the juvenile officer right down the street from where I live and turn him over to the juvenile officer and explain what had happened. And the mother came out of the house and wanted to know why I had my hands on her boy. After I'm telling her what I just witnessed them do, she was really mad at me. And I told her, ma'am, I am taking your son to the juvenile officer in the 12th district for him to deal with him. You can meet me with him there. And she was really mad. I mean, you have no idea how angry this woman was. And I explained to her, do you see that boy over there? They got the ambulance for this boy with this big gash in his head. What your son has just done.
Sarge, listen, I'm going to
tell
you something.
All she could be was angry at me for putting my hands on her boy.
Sarge, I will say this. This is where it begins. This is where it starts. I was at a funeral for a relative of mine. And my mom, who at the time would have been probably in her 80s, told a young man that he needed to pull his pants up because it was just it was not becoming of a good-looking young man who was going somewhere. And his mother turned to my mother and told her, "I like my boy's pants that way." So you have to comprehend what we're saying here. And what I'm saying is we've lost our God. We've lost our family. We've lost our governance. And now all we have is goats. And goats are not the brightest. They're not the smartest animal on the planet. And until we reverse this, we will all become goats. Because we're in trouble.
Well, in the short term, what we're going to have to do, we got things we got to do in the short term and things we got to do in the long term. In the short term, no matter what the cause, we have to protect ourselves against these people, many of whom have become feral. There's no other way to describe it. They become feral. And in the short term, we have an absolute inalienable right to protect ourselves from them by whatever means we have to, particularly when government either fails to or refuses to do its job. Now, that's number one in the short term. Number two, we've got to find the things that have caused the state of affairs, and we've got to reform them or repair them. And we must put the people in office who will more likely to do it instead of giving them empty, vapid promises that only exacerbate and make the problem worse year by year. And we got to focus on what the problem is instead of pretending it's a nationwide universal problem when it is not.
Well, I appreciate you guys. I love you. We're at the end of the day, and I'm done. It's been a good show. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tracy. I look forward to the next one.
Listen, we're only on Blog Talk right now, so just don't say anything you don't want to make public. But when is a good time so I can have a friendly meeting with you guys? Because we're not on stream. We're not streaming it live anymore on with Sticks and I. When's a good time for us to air and broadcast with you guys? I want to create a show that we can create some magnitude and do some damage with it. And as you see now that we can both call in and stream in, we can bring people in. We can do some real like bringing Joe in. People can actually call in right now and just phone in instead of having to be on the list.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tracy. You know, I'm retired, so I'm kind of open. My playbook is pretty much open. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, I think whatever's best for the group is okay with me.
Sticks?
If we're not on a radio schedule, then I can pretty much move things around.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not on a radio schedule right now because every show that we do now, we just send over to the station and they just broadcast it.
Right. So
it's 1 o'clock. Is 1 o'clock a good time for everyone?
Bianchi's in Central Time, I'm guessing, and so is Sarge.
Yeah, I'm on the Eastern Seaboard, Pacific, by the East Coast time.
Okay.
Okay, you're on East Coast time. Bianchi's in Central time. Like 9 o'clock in the morning works really good for me.
9 o'clock in the morning would work good for me too.
So which time zone are we talking about here?
Eastern. We're
Eastern.
Eastern
time. It would be 9 o'clock your time. If Bianchi would have to be 8 o'clock.
That'd be 10 o'clock with Bianchi. Yeah.
No, Bianchi would be 8. He's behind us.
No, it'd be 8. He's behind us an hour.
Right, exactly.
Bianchi?
So, 9 o'clock was perfect for me because then we get done and then got the rest of the day. Because this kind of breaks
I'm
the
doing
the day.
Show. I'm involved in a show from 7 to 10 Central Standard Time.
Every day?
Every day.
Okay. Can you do 10 o'clock? Can you do 10, 6?
10 o'clock Bianchi's time.
No, 10 o'clock our time. Oh.
10 o'clock our time.
Bianchi, you said 8 to 10 your time or my time?
I'm in Central Standard Time.
Okay. So you have a show that you do at what time?
7 in the morning to 10.
Eastern Standard.
Yeah.
Did he say yes?
Is that Eastern Standard or is that your time?
That's Central Standard Time.
That's his time.
Ohio
so
is
at 11.
Can we do 11? Can you do 11, Sticks?
I can do 11.
Sarge?
11 is copacetic with me.
Me and Sarge are retired. We don't have to go to work.
Yeah, we can love. We're bummed. I'm a bum for the first time in my life. Got nothing to do. Well, I do things, but, you know what I mean? Not in a consistent manner if I don't choose to.
Okay, so let's just...
What city do you live in, Sarge?
Huh?
What city do you live in?
I didn't hear that. You say it again, please?
You're in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I live in, I never live in Atlanta, never. I live within a 20-minute drive of Atlanta in Rockdale County, Georgia.
Okay, you're in Georgia. All right.
So 11 o'clock it is.
All right.
And I will try to send out notifications a whole lot earlier than I did this time. I'm getting worse and worse, but the news changes, and I don't want to be too behind the scenes.
So you're going to regularly broadcast at 11 p.m. Eastern?
Yes, sir.
When is this going to start?
11 a.m. I'm going to try to start this on Monday.
Tuesday?
I start on Monday.
Monday, okay.
You want to do this every day?
I'll be there every day. I'll send out a schedule. If you want to chime in, you want to chime in. I'll make sure on Tuesdays I'll need to have everybody on point. If we could have everybody on point on 2 days a week, I can put fillers in between and have guests come in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I can schedule all kinds of stuff. Pardon me?
And I'm getting lots of stuff from Regnery, Tracy, so we can throw some authors in
right
here and there. And, yeah.
So
we can do this.
We can do this. So I'll see you guys on Monday. God bless you guys. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you.
Keep up the good work, Tracy. That's what we need. We need more voices registering dissent and another perspective. Man, mainstream media is just wholly compromised now by the left. Completely.
Well, we may have a complete channel in a minute. Just keep me in your prayers. Talk to you later.
Yeah. See you later. I'm going back to my nap.
Must be nice.
Good for you.
Talk to you later.